Come on, Arthur. This is our time.
I'm milling about with Simon Kethlen Jones. I hope I said that right.
Yes, you did. Thank you for that.
I was practicing. And he is the director of Arthur the King. Thank you for making me cry, Simon. I really thank you.
Good. Yeah, you know, no pain, no gain.
Oh my gosh. So let's start from the beginning. Was there an ad that said must love dogs?
No, but I, you know, when I heard that there was a possibility of me getting sent this script, I sent them a picture of my three dogs, so they kind of knew.
Was your dog in the film?
No, because my dog lives in England and we filmed in the Dominican Republic, but they definitely would have been.
Because I understand you have, what, a German Shepherd, yeah?
I've got a German Shepherd and a Collie and their daughter.
Oh, that is so you automatically gravitated to this film, I imagine.
Yeah, a little bit, exactly.
So talk about casting this wonderful dog. What was involved in that? And then how did you have several dogs?
We did have several dogs, but funnily enough, really only one of them had the chops. His name was Yukai, and he is in pretty well every single shot in the movie of the dog. And the casting was, we wanted him to look a little bit like the real dog, who was called Arthur, of course, who, as you know, existed for real. The Michael Lindnord, the adventure racer, met him in a jungle and became friends with him and took him back to Sweden. You know, we found the dog quite early and we had a lot of time to train him. So that was because he was very young.
What were sort of the qualifications that he needed to have to get the role?
Well, he needed to be, to look a little bit like the dog he was playing. He needed to be strong because we were going to be asking him to run up and down mountains, cross rivers and sea. He had to be able to go in a boat, you know, a little tiny kayak and not mind. He really had to, and also he had to act emotionally. That was really important too.
And he had to like meatballs.
Yeah, and he had to like meatballs, exactly.
What did he eat exactly?
He ate meatballs. He ate the same kind of meatballs that he ate real, for real. We had them shipped over.
Oh my God, that is too funny. So he actually ate Mark Wahlberg's meatballs.
He really did, yeah.
How did Mark sort of bond with the dog? Talk about that.
Mark loves dogs. I think he's got four dogs himself. And he put in a lot of effort, actually. Mark was out about a week before we started filming to do rehearsals, to do some training, and to meet the dog, to meet Yukai. And Mark, just by happenstance, the dog was living quite near to Mark's house. So Mark would literally just wander over and say hi, and then the dog would come over. So it was a really nice relationship.
So obviously, as you mentioned earlier, this is based on a true story about the actual adventurer. So how much was he involved in the film?
Michael Lindnord?
Yes.
He was there the whole time, literally. He came out a couple of months before we started shooting. He worked with the costume people, the props people. He worked with the actors, training them. He worked with me, showing me what the race was like. And he was there while we were filming as well, and we discussed it with him in the edit. He was definitely involved.
What would you say was the best feedback that he gave to you?
Oh, when he cried when he saw the film.
Oh, everybody's going to cry.
Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You have to have a heart. If you don't have a heart, forget about it. Yeah, so talk about some of those filming scenes with humans. Some of them were very hair-raising. So the zip lining scene, let's talk about that one first.
That was fun to shoot. It was a little scary to shoot. You know, there's two things. Firstly, it had to look incredibly dangerous, but it had to not be dangerous because, you know, we have a lot of duty of care to our crew and everybody. And I certainly don't want to be responsible for hurting people, But we managed to get all the actors on that zip line. I was amazed that they agreed to do it, particularly Mark and Natalie, who had a really frightening scene, but without giving the story away, something goes very wrong on a zip line. And they are left dangling literally 500 feet, and they really were attached to that zip line. I was on solid ground looking at a drone screen. So I've got to thank my actors for that.
I was holding my breath, Simon. First of all, I cannot stand heights. How did the actors feel? I mean, how high up were they?
500 feet, really high. I don't like heights either. They were acting, but they looked like they could do it fine. I mean, maybe inside they were just going, oh my God. But no, I mean, you know, Mark does a lot of action stuff anyway. He does a lot of his own stunts, as you know. So I think, He was game, but the other actors were really committed as well.
Were there any hairy happenings? Did anything, you know, slightly raise your hair?
No. But the possibility, and we knew we had great stunt people, and we knew that we were being professional and careful. But when you do that kind of stuff, you can't help but thinking, Jesus, what happens? It's the wire's not that thick. What happens if it snaps? So, you know, I was only a couple of heartbeats away from going, oh my God.
You're sort of known to shoot sort of death-defying stunts, I feel, and pulling them off.
I don't know. I like them. It's fun. It's fun. And, I did another film with Mark called The Family Plan, where we had quite a lot of stunts, car chases, things like that. It's definitely something that I've come to pretty late in life, but really, really enjoy.
What are the most challenging aspects of shooting those kinds of stunts, and what made Mark such a great stuntman in a way?
We knew that we had to plan it, you know, both in terms of shooting, but also in terms of safety and stuff. We had to be really, really literal about it. And so we did our homework. And Mark, you know, as you know, Mark is keeps himself in really good shape. You know, if I got into a race with Mark, oh my God, I would just lose straight away. but he's confident. He's physically confident, and I think that's what helps him, you know, be sort of go the extra mile when it comes to stunt stuff.
Also, one of my favorite aha moments was that I realized that it was Bear Grylls doing the narrating.
Bear Grylls, I mean, yeah. How cool is that? He came on board afterwards, and he was fantastic to work with. And of course, he was just the right person, because he's another of those crazy people who just goes and runs for 5 days because he feels like it.
So how did you sort of get him on board?
We called him up, and he said, oh, let me see the film. And he loved it. And he said, yeah, for sure, I'm in.
What was your knowledge of adventure racing before you did this film, Simon?
It was limited. Obviously, once I started work on it, I did a lot of research. But before, all I knew was that it was a team of four people would sort of run themselves and cycle themselves, whatever, into the ground over 5 days. I knew it was like, you pick an Ironman race and then you multiply it by 20. That's probably what this race is like. So it's both, there's the physical aspect of canoeing or kayaking and cycling and climbing, but there's also the sort of mental aspect, because I think it must be to go without sleep for 5 days, it must really prey on your mind. So you get pretty, pretty strange, tough, elite people.
The oddest thing was how this dog navigated to these people. Like, what did he discover about how the dog was able to find them, if he did discover?
Well, this is the thing. He never found out specifically how the dog discovered them, but Michael decided, and I'm sure rightly, that the dog had that same never give up mentality that he had. And he probably thinks that's what drew them together.
And of course, he's now his pet. Yeah, he took the dog back.
He did, and very happily had a fantastic life. Tragically, the dog died shortly before we started shooting. And I think it was was awful for Michael. I remember speaking to him. He was actually in tears. But in a way, this film was a good thing to happen to him because it's a big memorial to that chapter in his life.
Oh, so is there a dedication at the end of the film for the dog?
It mentions it. Yes, absolutely.
Wow, what a life, though. Amazing.
Yeah, but
Amazing.
he had a great love. Exactly.
What is it about our love for dogs? Why do we love dogs so much, would you say?
I don't know. I think it is that they recognize us as the pack leader, mostly. And I guess we like that. Although, of course, my dogs know that they're the pack leaders. But I do think there's an incredible loyalty. There's a sort of focus that dogs have. And, you know, humans respond so well to that because it's very difficult to have an argument with a dog. It's quite difficult to be angry with a dog, although, of course, we've all had our fridges broken into or whatever. But yeah, I think there is a human connection that's been going for millennia.
And what's also gorgeous is that there's the Arthur Foundation. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, yes, I mean, that's you know, partly for Ecuador, but partly for worldwide. And I think it's what Michael's does is a lot of his work is about sort of empowering people to rescue a dog. I mean, you know, we get so many fancy pedigree dogs that cost $5,000. You don't have to do that. Go down to your local place, rescue a dog. Don't make people breed new ones. Rescue the ones we've already got.
Absolutely. What would you say are the themes behind this film?
Well, I think that it looks at the different ways you can win. It's not just being the fastest or the strongest. I think it's about determination, and I think it's about loyalty to your family. And I think it's about teamwork. You know, it's not an individual sport, and life is actually not an individual sport, I don't think either. I think the biggest message of the film is teamwork.
And what would you like audiences to take away?
I want them to go on the journey. I want them to find some of the journey tough, but then obviously I want them to find it a sort of a rewarding thing and somewhat uplifting. But I want them to see the film in a cinema because we keep forgetting the cinema is a really cool place to see a movie. And you watch it with 300-400 people, and you've got the big screen, you've got the great, great sound, and you've got, most importantly, all those shared emotions with your fellow audience.
Yes, I totally, totally agree. In your career, what would you say have been the most rewarding aspects of being a filmmaker?
Mostly I like working with actors. That's my favorite bit. I mean, I love the other stuff too. But I think actors are an amazing breed, and it takes something quite special to be really good. You know, Mark Wahlberg's a great example, but I've worked with some other terrific people. But also, it's the, kind of the most exciting job you can do. It's very tiring. It's a lot of work, but it's such a buzz. So I think I've loved what I've done so far.
What's your next project, you know?
I don't know. I mean, we are talking about the Family Plan 2, which is the one we did with Apple, which I think could be really good fun. So we'll see how that goes.
That was fun. That was talk about adventure and craziness. I love that film.
Great. And still showing at Apple. So not too late to check it out.
Wonderful. Well, Simon, thank you so much for joining me.
My considerable pleasure. Really nice to see you.
Thank you.
Guess what? I'm not a dog person. Oh,
yeah. Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always billing about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.